Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line. Hanging out with you guys now on the DraftKings Network. We say hello to our audience on the DraftKings Network. Femi Bebefe alongside Mike Pritchard, our VSiN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first round pick to the Atlanta Falcons, and also a national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes. Pritch, we have a fun second hour on deck. We had a fun first hour as well. And you can go ahead, for those of you listening, if you want to watch us, Zumo Play, Samsung TV, Roku, DraftKings Network. You got a whole lot of areas where you can go ahead and see us in motion picture here on the Lombardi Line. But we kick off this hour talking NFL and the Sunday slate with the Bills at the Eagles. Fun game, just from like a viewing standpoint, I think, here with Josh Allen, who's a terrific quarterback. You have the Eagles team, best record in the NFL. But in the betting market, seems like we'll get a close game as well. The Eagles right now, 3-point favorites over at DraftKings, total sitting at 48.5. I think this is one of the more fascinating betting markets. I don't have an opinion in terms of like a bet in this game, but I just find it really interesting. What do you think of this game, though? Side total, Eagles hosting the Buffalo Bills.
I hope it lives up to the headline of this game. Like, you think about Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts and, you know, all this stuff, and, you know, the high powered offense, Buffalo and the Eagles high powered offense. But then Eagles coming off of an emotional win, short week. Can they rev it back up again? Right. The plays were there for Kansas City and make them, which, OK, Buffalo is going to see that on tape and certainly try to take advantage of some matchups and some areas of the field. Buffalo is more the same, which is fascinating to me, because they don't have anything else to evolve to or go in or get into. I mean, I think from a tendency standpoint, that's going to change for the Eagles, because no more Ken Dorsey. So now who's calling plays? Okay, how do we focus in on that from a tendency standpoint? There's some advantages on both sides here. The Eagles offensively, you know, A.J. Brown has a thigh issue. And, you know, last year, remember we had that ankle?
Yeah.
He was kind of hobbled, and then Devonta Smith stepped up. And the Eagles made big play after big play against Kansas City to get back in the game and then win the game. So Buffalo's looking to take that away, but then Buffalo's banged up in the secondary too. So there's so many matchup advantages, individual matchups advantages. It's hard for me to focus in on a side here. But I mean, look at the props. These game plans are going to be wide open. They have to be. I think the Eagles, the only thing you're worried about with the Eagles is, can they follow up a come from behind victory on the road with a stellar performance again against a team that's looking to get back into the playoff picture.
Are you buying what the Bills are selling offensively after the OC change? Obviously, we saw Ken Dorsey get fired. Joe Brady, the interim offensive coordinator, now calling the plays. Are you buying what they were selling? Just off of one data point, we saw them put up points against the New York Jets, but also that game was like, that was one of those never in doubt sort of games, just based on what the Jets offense was doing.
Well, it's more of the same, because what Brady, LSU, you know, you think about who he had at LSU would
a lot of dudes.
Sure.
Chase Jefferson.
Yeah. And then he goes to Carolina. It was a Carolina, right? And it flops. So I think it's more of the same. I think it's more about Josh Allen and what he wants to run and what he wants to do. And can you coordinate and can you call a game in accordance to what Josh Allen wants to do? Obviously, Ken Dorsey couldn't. Right. But I don't know how Brady, who's a pass happy play caller, is going to start running the football and being physical. We're at the point of the season two where there's no more padded practices, really. So these teams are who they are. Like last night, trying to watch, these teams, like, for instance, you're looking at Seattle trying to be physical against the 49ers. That's not happening, right? And then it's like, for me, for Buffalo to amp it up and be more physical with an older defense, a banged up defense, but yet offensively they're capable of scoring points, but only through the air. It gets tough to see that happen just because they change offense coordinators.
Yeah. No, I think why I find this game really fascinating, just from a market standpoint, is that when you look at all the underlying metrics, like the EPA stuff or the DVOAs, for those of you like Aaron Schatz's thing over at FTN, like all those numbers suggest that Buffalo is a top three team in the NFL. But obviously, like, the turnovers has brought them down to now 6-5 straight up, and 4-7 more importantly against the number,
right,
to where like they have been below market expectations for quite a bit of this season. But the market can't quit them. Hmm? The market can't quit the Buffalo Bills. And like, the market bet Buffalo heavily at close last week when they played the New York Jets. And I kind of think the market might bet them heavily again at close here when they take on the Eagles. Like, we're sitting here at 3, and maybe we don't close 2.5, but I would venture to guess that we're more likely to close 2.5 than we are 3.5.
Right.
Like, I think there's a lot of interest, as you saw all the 3.5s get taken when those were earlier in the week, to where I think people think Buffalo might be on to something here. And I'm not sure I'm quite there. Like, I need to see more data. I get that the Eagles, their underlying metrics aren't that great. They're winning ugly, quote unquote, and all that stuff here. But man, like, Buffalo's got to prove it to me just more than just a game where they blow out the New York Jets.
I totally agree with you. I mean, I think at times when Buffalo's won games, you know, their defense was able to step up. They're an aging defense too, so you kind of worry about that now. And with key injuries, especially in the secondary, Von Miller is nowhere near Von Miller, right? And can they stop the run? Can they buckle up the chin strap and be physical? You know, Milano's gone. Edmonds is gone. He's on Chicago now. The identity of this team, I mean, all these safeties, you know, whether it's Rapp or any of these safeties, they want to hit you, but they're banged up though.
Yep.
And they got concussions and shoulder injuries. So I'm taking that into account, certainly the physical nature of Buffalo. And if you're the Eagles, okay, yeah, we lived and we won the game against Kansas City with the big play. We know we can get to it if we need to, but can we control the game and can we run the football? And I think that's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting the Eagles to probably perhaps try to run the ball a little bit more. Against a team that just doesn't want anything to do with being physical.
Yeah, no, I mean, Philadelphia should have a lot of success on the ground game. We saw Denver have success on the ground game when they played a couple weeks ago. Broncos able to win that game outright as a 7.5-point dog here. But that's not the only big game that we have. We have a massive game in Houston. Right, who could have seen this coming before the year started, that Jags at Texans might decide who wins the AFC South? But that's where we sit right now. Jacksonville is a 1.5-point favorite over at DraftKings. Total's 47.5. The Houston Texans story has been phenomenal. CJ Stroud, runaway offensive rookie of the year. DeMeco Ryans is in the race for coach of the year. Maybe Stroud is in the MVP conversation. Some people believe that. I'm not really one of them, but like, he's being talked about for that award. Do you see this being a game where the Houston Texans kind of like fully introduce themselves to the public, saying, hey, we are that team? Or maybe Jacksonville humbles them at home?
Well, Jacksonville's defense, they're capable of humbling the Texans a little bit. But then I just focus in on what C.J. Stroud and how he's playing, how he's uplifting his team, how he's getting performances from these players that you really don't know much about. I think Damian Pierce is going to be back. That's going to add some more pop to that offense too, at least some more confidence. And I talk about this a lot, where you got younger teams and impressionable teams that takes leaps forward, right? You know, the veteran teams, they're hard to get more from unless they're already there, unless they already have established a standard and they know what to do. But these young teams, like especially with DeMeco, what he's doing with the Houston Texans, I mean, put them on a teaser. I mean, at least that's what I'm looking at. I like the fact that I can get through two possessions there. And I like that fact, that situation, that kind of makeup of a game, that profile of a game at home for Houston. I think Jacksonville, and they are that young team too, that you are expecting more and more from, but can they be consistent? And they haven't shown to be consistent. Last week, great performance, right? The week before, horrible performance. So they're on par for not another great performance. If they can break that and put together back-to-back great performances, okay, you're okay laying 1.5. But for me, I like the teaser situation with Houston.
Yeah, it does feel like it's a pretty good teaser, like, because Jacksonville's offense isn't like one that's going to be blowing people out. I get what they did last week against Tennessee, but that felt more like Will Levis being bad and Tennessee giving them so many opportunities to kind of win by margin versus it being like Jacksonville authentically from an offensive standpoint, at least here. But it's funny because after week two, Houston's 0-2. Obviously, like nobody, everyone's like, oh, they're 0-2. That sounds about right. Like, nobody expects this team to be good. They were around like 25-1 or so to win the AFC South. And now if they win this game, they have the tiebreaker over the Jags because they beat Jacksonville earlier this season. Right. I believe it was week three. That was their first win of the season. They won that game. If they win this game, they get the tiebreaker and they get the season sweep to where, man, like imagine holding a 25-1 or 20-1 on the Houston Texans. And right now they're sitting at plus 235. So that ticket obviously is aging pretty well if you went ahead and dabbled. I don't know how many people dabbled with Houston at that point after week two, but if you did, you're in the driver's seat right now with potentially being able to pull off an upset, a short upset, because it's only 1.5. It's not like it's like a required that's a lot here, but in a coin flip game, you might be sitting with the team that has the inside track on winning that division.
Well, then D'Amico gets coach of the year, too, then. I mean, if they win that division.
Feels like it.
Yeah, because all the expectations were all over Jacksonville. The thing about the Texans is you wonder, and I love a young team situation where they get better during the course of the season. But you wonder, when does that moment become too big? Are they ready for a game like this too, right?
Lights might be too bright.
Yeah, because then all of a sudden the light, you know, things happen. Fumbles and poor play. I mean, we've seen Stroud, CJ throw some picks. He's come back from them. But each and every game now is just packed with pressure, right? And this one... is that game. I mean, like you said, they could get right there in position in terms of trying to play for the division, right? So it gets interesting to see how they handle that, though.
To their credit, like a game that was a big game for the AFC wildcard implications, they went into Cincinnati and they won that game authentically. And that was with Joe Burrow, I think, at least healthy, quote unquote. I mean, maybe he banged up his wrist in that game, but at least he was healthy enough to continue to play throughout that entire game. And they beat the Joe Burrow led Cincinnati Bengals, who were scorching hot leading into that game. So Houston's shown that they've been able to answer the bell when the bell is rung. We'll see if they do that on Sunday afternoon. We'll talk some more NFL on the other side and get into a little bit of contest discussion here as we are in the Thanksgiving weekend on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't become a VSiN subscriber yet, now's your best chance to sign up and save. Sign up on our Black Friday special today and get a VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st, only $60. Sign up today and get access to daily best bets, unlimited access to our exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus all our betting guides and best bets for the upcoming College Bowls, the Super Bowl, and March Madness. Don't miss our best new subscriber offer of the year. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up on our Black Friday special now. That's VSiN, VSIN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. He's Mike Pritchard. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out here on a Black Friday. Pritch, right now we do have some college football games going on. Obviously, Iowa, Nebraska, just hilariously low total of 25.5. We're still under 17 points that have been scored right now midway through the third quarter. Iowa leads at 10-7. In Norman, we haven't talked about this game really, but Oklahoma leads TCU 42-16. There's about like 17, I think, permutations of the Big 12 title game. We don't need to get into all of those, but Oklahoma needs to win today, and they also need some help later on this evening and afternoon, or tomorrow afternoon, I should say, was Saturday. OU hoping that they can get some help and maybe get to the Big 12 title game. Texas, one of the few teams that actually controls its own destiny out there in the Big 12. But let's continue our NFL discussion, and we were talking about it during the break here. Tricky week for those of you fortunate enough to have survived Thanksgiving. For the survivor plays, tricky week here because we have only one game that has a touchdown plus favorite right now. That's the Kansas City Chiefs on the road against the Las Vegas Raiders. Other than that game, every game is 3.5, 2, 2.5, 1.5. I mean, where would you go here if you're playing Survivor right now? I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have used Kansas City already as well. Well, to where it's a little bit tough.
That's where Mike Palm would introduce the matrix and say, okay, which teams are available for certain people or certain entries here. And I mean, with one entry, boy, I tell you, you're kind of sweating out what you're going to do. But with two entries, I mean, you got some flexibility depending on how you have used some of the teams to date. They're not going to be the big home favorites, but that costs people the big home favorites. Cincinnati, you know, stands out, right?
How about Detroit yesterday?
Sure, Detroit, absolutely, recently. So if you have them available, you know, there's a situation that we were talking about this earlier in the show. the NFC being top heavy, who's the fourth best team in the NFC right now?
I mean, I think you probably still have to say Detroit, but man, they've shown some signs of weakness over the last couple of weeks.
Detroit versus Minnesota, what would that line be right now though?
On a neutral, I would say more than a field goal.
Okay.
I think you have more than a field goal, probably like between 3.5 and 5.5, somewhere in that range.
The reason why I ask is because I think Minnesota could be the play against Chicago at home. And here's why. I mean, Minnesota, they had that game against Denver. They could have had it. You know, you're talking about.
Probably should have won.
Yeah. And you're talking about this team being probably the fourth, hands down, the fourth best team in the NFC. You know, it's unthinkable, but what's going on with quarterback, right? But then quarterback play has come down to that level. Well, what's going on with quarterback in Minnesota? And okay, other intangibles here. I mean, I think Flores is doing an outstanding job with that defense. Hunter, he's leading the league in sacks. I think he's at the top. But they get after you defensively up front. They disguise stuff. Chicago's going to be an interesting matchup because I wonder what Justin's going to be able to do just running the football. Is he going to be able to throw it? And I think there's a chance for Minnesota really at home with those fans to come out on top there. So from a survivor standpoint, if you got multiple entries, I think Minnesota has to be one of them.
Yeah, I think Minnesota is definitely one of them. There's obviously a lot of like short home favorites that we have this week. Mm-hmm. I could never get there with the Titans. We talked about this during the break here. Like Will Levis, the way he's been playing the last couple of weeks hasn't been good. I backed Levis +7 last week against Jacksonville. That ticket had no chance. I don't think I could ever get there, even though the Titans right now are 3.5-point favorites. And yes, Carolina has been atrocious, but when you have two bad teams, one thing I like to do is take the points in those situations.
Right.
I think this is just a pass in general with that game, whether survivor or betting wise. Indianapolis as a short home favorite.
There's something going on. There's something going on, Andy, though. There's something
good
on.
Or something bad.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, why'd they release my man?
Shaq Leonard?
Yeah.
He hasn't been playing up to that all pro level. I mean, given the back injury, the ankle,
he's a linebacker, undersized linebacker, but he's a playmaker. But there's ways you can do things, right? I mean,
thought it was a little bit dirty.
Well, you're just going to outright release a guy like that? It's like
the Tuesday or Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Happy holidays, Shaq.
Yeah.
We wish you well going forward, like, as we wish Jack Del Rio well going forward.
Well, it kind of just builds on from JT too, like how you handle that. And then, okay, he gets an extension, whatever. But I think there's a lot of overpaid guys on that team right now. But nobody else is getting cut, right?
That's fair.
And you know, Gus Bradley, he's the type of guy from a defense coordinator standpoint, wants to disrupt. And I don't know. I just think there's something else going on beneath the surface there.
Well, I mean, there's something going on with the owner, Jim Irsay, if you just read his Twitter account.
Yeah.
I mean, with everything he had the Real Sports documentary, which obviously like he opened up about some like pretty serious stuff, but he has said some comments that are just like, what? He was targeted as a rich billionaire.
Yeah.
We don't need to get into all of that stuff.
Would you back New England from a survivor standpoint?
Ooh. Who's playing quarterback? That's a good question. Is it Mac Jones? Is it Bailey Zappi? Is it Malik Cunningham? Is it Will Greer? Is it Bill Belichick? You know what I mean? We don't know who's behind center. I don't know if you can comfortably back the Patriots betting or survivor wise when we still don't know. And I don't think we're going to find out until honestly Sunday.
Well, it's a fade of New York, basically.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, let's say you picked New England in survivor. Here comes Will Greer starting at quarterback for the Patriots. Do you still feel comfortable?
I mean, from a defensive standpoint against what DeVito's got tape on him now and all this stuff. And I mean, how much more will the Giants be able to do, right, than what they presented so far? I mean, DeVito's not elevating anything, right? No. So it's tough. It really is tough this week. If you have multiple entries, good luck to you. Because I don't know what you would do.
I think if you have multiple, you just circle one game and pick both sides, I think. And just hope it doesn't end in a tie.
Sure.
Like that's kind of the move, it feels like,
sure,
to me.
Sure. Yeah, because you're trying to save, ultimately, Christmas Day, you're trying to save Philly.
Yeah.
Philly. Because of that matchup.
And if you have Kansas City available, you could try to say, I mean, this would be the week to use Kansas City, but Kansas City also plays on Christmas, so that has that sort of a, I guess, thought process behind that as well.
Right, right, right. Yeah, it gets tough though. One entry is Minnesota all the way for me.
One entry Vikings.
Yeah. Yep.
What about one of your former teams, the Denver Broncos, as a short home favorite against the Cleveland Browns? However, this is Dorian Thompson-Robinson's first road start.
Game, I know.
Different. It's a little bit tricky, and the Broncos have been, it hasn't looked pretty by any stretch of the imagination, but they've been surging as of late over this past month. I think they've won like four straight games, and now they're back in the AFC wildcard race. Like, this is a big game here for Denver at home. You'd think that they could take care of business against Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Yeah, you know, with the win streak too, I think crowd noise will be a factor out there. DTR going to
elevation.
altitude, first road start like that. I mean, that does get different. But then, okay, can Cleveland lean on their defense? We know Denver has dialed it down. They're more conservative offensively. Although Russell has been able to make some plays now. He's a playmaker again. It's a tough matchup. It really is. I think defensively, Denver can hold themselves or stay in this game and give themselves the opportunity to win in the fourth quarter. But can those plays show up in the fourth quarter against this defense for Cleveland, right? DTR making mistakes, I would rely on that, although that could happen.
Yep.
But I wouldn't rely from a betting standpoint on DTR making mistakes on the road, though.
What about, hear me out.
Okay.
What about the team that just fired their offensive coordinator, Matt Canada? What about the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Well, some of us would have used Pittsburgh already. would have.
Yeah.
Yeah, and be still in it.
I know that's a sore subject for you. It's a sore subject for you. But Pittsburgh right now is a short road favorite against Jake Browning and the Cincinnati Bengals. This is the first Bengals game without Joe Burrow. So sometimes in those first games, you see like the, all right, like we got to like win one for the Gipper kind of thing. Like, you know, you get that like passionate kind of performance there. But I mean, if you can't beat Jay Browning, what the hell are you doing if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers? You
know? Sure, sure. No, I mean, it's not a bad situation, really, against that quarterback, you know. And Cincinnati defensively, they have been leaking. And so that could help out a struggling offense like Pittsburgh, right? But I'm operating from the standpoint that I would already use Pittsburgh, so yeah. They're not available.
I know it's a sore subject for you. It's tough. The dream is over here on the Lombardi line for our buddy Pritch here, having been knocked
always
out.
Next year. It's always next year.
It's always next. Maybe it'll be $10 million dream instead of a $9 million dream.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
We challenge the folks here at Circuit. Derek Stevens, put up the money for Survivor. We'd love to go ahead and win it potentially next season. We'll talk some college football on the other side. This is the Lombardi line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's so much to be thankful for: family, friends, food, and NFL football all week long. DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping your Thanksgiving week full of action. New customers can bet just $5 on the NFL to score 150 instantly in bonus bets. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. Family Bebefe alongside Mike Pritchard here. Interesting enough, like obviously football all week long. Speaking of NFL football, coming up in about 30 minutes. We have the Black Friday game between the Dolphins and the Jets right now. It's still 9.5. Although our friends at the South Point, Pritch, they went to 10. So if you like the New York Jets, there are 10s out there for the New York Jets. Could you ever get there with Tim Boyle as starting quarterback?
Well, I took quarterbacks out the equation a long time ago, and it's been helping me lower left, upper right with the bankroll.
Hey, that's what we love to see.
That's right. And I think defensively, do they have the juice, though, to stay involved in this game? It's a tremendous matchup. Miami against elite defenses have kind of struggled. You know, not elite, but just decent defenses or defenses that are familiar with them and what they want to do, right? So, it gets interesting at 10, though. It really does.
10 is a key number. So, it definitely, I don't know if I could get there. I mean, I guess 10.5, you probably have to bet the Jets and just plug your nose. But man, do you really want to spend Black Friday sweating out the Jets plus 10? Like sometimes I ask myself this, like, I'm like, do I really want to do that? And I think in this instance, it's a no.
Yeah. I mean, like Black Friday, what? You're going to have something on sale. You know, you're getting a deal, right?
Discounts.
Are you getting a deal with the Jets at plus 10?
I mean, maybe, but it's Boyle. So maybe you're getting ripped off. Maybe it should be 14.
It's Boyle and Hackett.
It's Boyle.
Not just Boyle. It's Boyle and Hackett.
I'll find better things to do. I'll watch the game and I'll eat leftovers. Yeah.
Go buy a new computer or something. Exactly.
Spend the money on something that's going to bring you joy, right? Not something that's going to bring you pain, which I think Jets plus 10 might bring you pain. But hey, they could obviously cover the number. We're obviously talking a little bit tongue in cheek here, but it just, there's better ways to spend your Black Friday, in my opinion, at least. Speaking of which, though, let's talk some college football. Better ways to spend. How about rivalry weekend? That's a hell of a time to spend your time there, right, to go ahead and watch some of these rivalry games. The game, Ohio State and Michigan, is the biggest of them. Number two versus number three, obviously big implications for the Big Ten title, big implications for the national title here. The Michigan Wolverines, 3.5-point favorites at home. Total is sitting at 47. I think the betting market likes Ohio State a lot here in this game. Do you like the Buckeyes to keep this close or maybe even win the football game?
Well, Big Bro's in town, and he influenced me and helped me get in football, right? He's seven years older than me, and he's a humongous Michigan fan.
Okay.
And he's nervous about this game. He's nervous about the game. Wow. At 3.5, it's tough to lay that. I think Ohio State, now Michigan's defense, they've taken some hits, firing coaches and stuff like that. And you wonder, okay, why do they have to steal science? Why do they have to destroy evidence? Why do they have to do that when they're supposed to be really good there? So the path for Ohio State is to find out how to involve Marvin Harrison Jr. and get him highly effective and highly involved in this offense, get quarterback comfortable throwing the rock too. Michigan, obviously, they're going to run the football and play physical. That's who Michigan is. They're not going to change. I think the quarterback could find some throwing lanes for some receivers at times, but that's not going to be the essence of their game plan. It shouldn't be anyway, because then Ohio State's defense can just get after you. So can Michigan control the ball and run the football consistently in this game to lay 3.5? I don't know if I can get there.
Yeah, I mean, especially the way Ohio State's defense has been playing. I don't know if you can go ahead and lay it. Do you think that the Wolverines have missed something on game day with the absence of Jim Harbaugh? Obviously, he's really adamant in like the preparation. Like, right, he's able to go ahead and like prepare the team. But on game day in particular, do you think that they're like missing something with the suspension that he's serving?
I think what you miss with a Harbaugh as a head coach now, he's still involved with practices, or did he just walk away?
He's completely involved. Okay. He just can't be at the venue on game day.
Even though they just say, hey, you know, like, we'll take that punishment.
Exactly.
Because of what's going on.
Maybe he's piped into the headsets. Who knows?
Obviously, I think the fellas were distracted against Maryland. I mean, how are you not distracted? I mean, you're a young, impressionable kid, really. A young adult. Even though you had the t-shirts and all that, they were distracted, but they made plays and still got the job done. But this is a different animal, man. This is there's a lot more emotion in this game for Michigan and for Ohio State, for that matter. I think Ohio State can match the energy, which you're gonna have to do that on the road in the Big House that way. But you know, there's a number of players familiar with that, right? I think the absence of Harbaugh on game day. See, I think a head coach makes a difference during a week of practice because they're going to dot the I's and cross the T's, especially a guy like Harbaugh.
Yep.
And they're not going to let anything slip. But if he's involved in practices, then, okay, anticipate Michigan having a great week of practice. I'm not one to think that on game day, the absence of Harbaugh is going to affect how they call the game, though. I don't think that's going to happen.
It's interesting because like Michigan, when you look at their schedule, obviously like they didn't play like the toughest of schedules.
And
even Penn State, like the one that they had a couple weeks ago, I have a lot of questions about Penn State, especially offensively.
Right.
I mean, they haven't, like, yes, Michigan's defense has been good. Penn State they've struggled against a lot of people offensively. I mean, we've seen them have games where it's like, I don't know about this. So I don't know if Michigan's really been tested. off, like in terms of like a legitimate passing attack.
Right.
Now, I don't know if Ohio State's going to be the team to do that either, just because Kyle McCord is not a good quarterback, in my opinion, just from watching. I'm like, Kyle McCord, it's like, dude, like you have the best player in college football. Just throw him the football.
Right.
And they can't do that. And like they have a bunch of good receivers and they can't do it. So maybe they're never going to be tested until the playoff. Maybe the playoff in Georgia will come and run over them or something like that. And that'll be the case. But I haven't seen enough to lay this number from Michigan. So to me, it'd be Ohio State or pass. And right now I think it's kind of a pass because I still don't trust Ryan Day either in these big games.
Yeah. You know, from a schedule standpoint, I think Ohio State's in the same boat. Like yeah. Who have they played? They beat Notre Dame. Notre Dame had 10 players on the field, right?
That's true.
Mike's multiple plays. Yeah, Mike's not here.
Happy Thanksgiving, Mike Ball.
Yeah. And then Penn State, I think Penn State, the hype was in front of everything else for Penn State. Look at Ohio State's schedule. Like, that's not that impressive either, though, right? This game, I think you throw all that out the window because it has so much other implications to it, other factors to it. And then you're going to have your best performances from your best players, you know? And you're right. I mean, it's tough to lay 3.5. And can you get there? But Ohio State is a possession game, I think. If you have if you're looking for a teaser leg or something like that, I mean, there you go. I think it's a possession game, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely a possession game as well. Hopefully it's a good game. The market says it's going to be a good game. Total's been getting bet to the over, and the point spread keeps compressing. So it looks like we're going to have a fun game with the game in Ann Arbor tomorrow afternoon between Ohio State and Michigan. Also a big weekend for the Heisman Trophy race here, Pritch. Jaden Daniels, the LSU quarterback, has emerged as the betting favorite right now, -110 around that range. Bo Nix has the game tonight against Oregon State. Michael Penix has the Apple Cup tomorrow afternoon. We're Washington right now is a 15.5 point favorite. It's down to those three guys. I think from a prop betting standpoint, it could make for an interesting, especially with LSU playing Texas A&M right now, LSU a 10.5, 11 point favorite. I mean, they're going to leave Daniels in there to try to rack up as many numbers as possible. LSU has made it their life mission to get him the Heisman Trophy this week. So I think this is like his last chance to impress the voters. Could be a big number from Jaden Daniels from a prop standpoint.
I think he's already impressed the voters, to be honest with you. You know, like you got that committal, non-committal thing from guys that are voting on the Heisman. Like, how do you pass up what the season that he's put together? I love your ticket and situation with Bo Nix, but one of the things I think can hurt him would be that those two receivers that he has then run after the catch. And, you know, is like any quarterback in Oregon could be putting up numbers, right? I mean,
this sounds like Bo Nix disrespect.
I'm just saying.
Who will not stand for this disrespect?
I mean, my goodness, those guys can fly.
A lot of yak.
Yeah.
A lot of yak.
Michael Penix, you know, if he has an incredible performance in Apple Cup, who knows, right? And that kind of thing. But Daniels, it just feels like it's shifted towards him big time.
The conversation, with the numbers he's put up, it's been spectacular and all that. The reason why I don't think Daniels is going to get there is just because Nix has obviously the spotlight game tonight. Mm-hmm. Daniels, we spent a lot of the conversation talking about Ohio State, Michigan. Daniels plays at that exact same time. How many people are watching LSU A&M when Ohio State, Michigan's going on?
Good point.
And then next week, where's Jaden Daniels? He's on a milk carton because LSU's not playing conference championship weekend. It's going to be tough for him to win the Heisman. We'll wrap up the show on the other side.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSIN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSIN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSIN expert leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI and see which VSIN expert has the hot hand. For VSIN Pro picks, betting splits, betting guides, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSIN Pro subscriber today. Sign up on our Black Friday special now and get access to everything we do through May 1st for only $60 at VSIN.com/subscribe. There you go. That's the doorbuster deal that you should be getting at right now. VSiN.com/subscribe. Go ahead and get video access to us and everything that I mentioned there in that read. This is the Lombardi Line final segment here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard here. We are about 15, 20 minutes away from kickoff between the Dolphins and the Jets. Last market check right now, we're sitting at 9.5. But where we sit, Pritch, at Circa, down to 9. Mm-hmm. So people are betting Tim Boyle.
On that, yeah.
They're jumping on that Tim Boyle and the New York Jets, buddy. I mean, I get it, like the from a number standpoint, yeah. But still, do you want to spend your afternoon sweating that? I can't get there.
Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah.
Tell you what.
Yeah. I'm right there with you.
Not me.
I'm right there with you. I mean, there's some advantages to end gaming the game, you know, if you want some action there. I think that course, just to see if there's juice with the Jets defensively. I'm not expecting, you can't expect a lot offensively for the Jets, from the Jets.
How could you?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you just, yeah, that's, bless the hearts of those back in New York right now. Speaking of which, though, before we get out of here, we got to get our pro tip for the show. Mm-hmm. This one comes from a conversation that we had earlier in the show in the first hour when we're talking about the Packers and the Lions game, is that some of these young NFL teams, particularly because the season is so long, we forget that this is an 18-week marathon, that teams can get better. Mm-hmm. You can allow room, especially for younger teams, to get better, like the Green Bay Packers. And sometimes those improvements, they're not really baked into the market, into which Green Bay going off as an 8.5-point dog yesterday from snap number one looked like a very live dog and looked like the right side, and they ultimately get home.
Right, because some of these improvements, I don't know how many people are paying attention to it. Now, you got to be paying attention to it when it comes from the growth of a young team. And since we're on the Lombardi Line, this is perfect because what do GMs and coaches look for? The upside of a young player. And I think the upside is starting to play out in certain situations, like the Green Bay Packers. Are they surging? There's an upside now that they're healthy and they're growing in their confidence, that kind of thing. And now people are talking glowingly about Jordan Love a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Not too long ago, we can get analyst after analyst here on the program, Jordan Love, man, he's struggling. But, you know, there's some signs that the upside of Jordan Love starting to appear. And that goes for a lot of young teams. And the bulk of the NFL is all about the upside. Think about it. Like there's a couple of elite teams that are poised to make a Super Bowl run, like the Eagles. You know, you can throw out Dallas, maybe Kansas City. You can throw those teams out there, right? Because 49ers certainly, but look at how they're constructed. You know, they got the quarterback in place, and certainly they have continuity and they have structure in place, and now they just have to tinker. And the 49ers tinker, they add it. And who knows what will happen. But the bulk of the National Football League is all about the upside. Houston.
Yeah.
I think Jacksonville still falls into that. So understanding the signs or understanding what the essence of the league is all about, I think can help you out as a better.
It's pretty tricky because it's almost hard. It's like, all right, what should we be looking for just to really get the indication that, okay, this team is starting to improve. They're getting better.
Right.
Because like Green Bay, when you watch them, especially when you watch the game against Pittsburgh, where they lost 20-16, I believe was the final score. But like you saw like the chunk plays. It's like, okay, like maybe it's because Pittsburgh had injuries on defense, but maybe it's actually Jordan Love getting a little bit more comfortable in the offense. Is Jordan Love getting comfortable with the young skill position guys? Because it's not just Jordan Love is young. I mean, they have like the youngest skill position. I mean, the two tight ends are rookies. The wide receivers are like second year players, whether it's Romeo Doubs or if it's Christian Watson. Like it's a very just young football team to where like there was no way that they were going to not improve. You know, it's like you knew the improvement was going to come. You just didn't know how much of an improvement it was going to be. And it pretty much, it's shown that it's been a pretty good improvement as they went ahead and beat Detroit yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely, fam. I mean, I think eliminating mistakes, getting coached up, watching yourself on tape, getting better, better practice habits, growing your confidence. If you're an established player in the league, you're not worried about confidence. You know, you're worried about making mistakes and all that stuff. But I think as a young player that's included with the upside, is the confidence, you know, and oh yeah, I can do that. Oh yeah, yep. I can beat that guy. Oh yeah, I can make that play. You know, all those kind of things come into play. That's why when you look at Atlanta, that's underachieving right now, you got to look at the head coach, because the upside of all that young talent should be there, but it's not. So Arthur Smith, there's a there's a difference there. There's something going on there. And therefore, okay, do you want to bet Atlanta? Do you want to back them? And, but when you see the upside and you see the growth and confidence, okay, now you can start to back those type of teams.
Speaking of Atlanta, they're a short dog against the New Orleans Saints at home. 1.5 is the spread. Total 41.5. It sounds like Derek Carr is going to be able to play in this
game. Of course he is. It's a
he's cleared the concussion protocol, I believe. At least he's practiced in full. Mm-hmm. Could you ever back the Falcons here? Or is this maybe setting up for a fantastic teaser leg?
Fantastic teaser leg, perhaps. Perhaps. I haven't got there yet. You know, D-Carr... against Atlanta when he was with the Raiders did not play well at all. I remember that game specifically. Well, you know, there's some other factors. I think they were expecting another child. And so maybe he was distracted. You know, this is a rivalry game, whether it really is or not. But I just question Arthur Smith at this point so much.
Yeah.
But then on the other side, the Saints defense isn't what it used to be. And Derek Carr, you can shout at him and he might exit the game, right? For a play or two, looking for sympathy. I don't know how much faith you can have in a quarterback like that at this point. Because you know, as a player, you know a lot of it's fake. But then Atlanta's still searching for themselves, though. And they haven't really been able to execute consistently. And again, I think that falls on the coaching and it falls on the head coach. But if they can get that part of it, the consistency, you know, the confidence, then the upside of Atlanta is everything you would want in this game.
Yeah. No, I think as a teaser leg, it's probably a really good, because is Derek Carr and Dennis, are they really blowing you out? Like, are they winning this thing by 8+ points?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it to me. Like the Saints, just based on how they play, close games, it's a low scoring game as well. This might be a great teaser week. I know the teaser syndicate is always busy this
always,
time of year.
Always.
You know,
yeah,
it's not just the doorbuster sales that are keeping people busy. It's the teaser syndicate as well. But I think this might be the week for the teaser syndicate.
I think you're right. From indications, everybody's going to be active. So
you've already gotten the signals.
Oh yeah. One of the members hit a ticket. They put down $30 total, film, and they walked away with $6,700. There's two tickets. I'll show it to you. But it was incredible.
Was this like last Sunday?
A couple weeks ago.
Okay.
But you know, those are lottery plays, and then how many times do you hit something like that?
Yeah.
So.
$30? I mean, like, when you talk about teasers, it's like there's some great, like, obviously the Falcons being a really good leg. Cleveland, it's dicey because it's DTR, first road game.
Right.
There's a scenario where that game does get out of hand, or maybe Denver wins like 20-7 or something like that. So, like, I think that is also in play. So, I don't know if I love the Browns as a teaser leg, although it falls under that category.
It does.
But I mean, you look at some of these other games. The Bucks fall into as a great teaser leg. You might be able to. Jake Browning, do you want to tease him? You know, Bengals. It's a little bit like there's some teaser legs out there to fall under the quote unquote Wong teaser leg.
Yeah. I mean, I think the bulk of the league, or the bulk of what's going on in National Football League, scoring is tight. We know that.
Yeah.
The quarterback play has come down to where it is more about their roster. So I think I broke it down from my standpoint, game situation, you know, the pressure of the situation, quarterback comparison, that's gone. Unit comparison, like offensive line versus defensive line on both sides, looking at that, and then individual matchups, you know, going through the list on things like that. So you can get to some good teaser legs, I believe. You're right. I think there's some opportunity this week.
We're about 5 minutes from kickoff between the Dolphins and the Jets here. There's continued interest on gangrene. Right now we're down to 9 in a lot of places here. There's even an 8 on the board.
Wow.
So
take a look at that.
Maybe we close 8.5. Okay, so this is the bet that was 60. So I see $10 to get $3,700. And then I see another 20 to get almost 3,000.
He got it.
He hit both of these.
Yes.
My goodness. So this is a parlay of Steelers, Alabama, Oklahoma State, Arkansas, Kansas City, Indianapolis, the Vegas Raiders, Eagles, and the Bengals, all against the spread from a couple weeks ago. Kudos. Kudos to the
syndicate.
Teasers.
The syndicate.
The syndicate is active, and they'll be active.
They need
once
to go
again.
Public.
Needs to. I might pay for that subscription. For Mike Pritchard, I'm Femi Benfei saying good luck with all the bets this week. Sharp Money's coming up next year on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.